Okay. How's everyone doing? Good? Okay. Anyone ever hear of the Butterfly Effect?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
It is a movie. That's true. But just to describe what it is, just for those who don't know what it is, so I'll read from you a passage from Wikipedia. Okay, the Butterfly Effect is the concept that small causes can have large effects. Initially, it was used with weather prediction, okay, but then it became part of chaos theory in science. Basically, that the sensitive dependence on initial conditions in which a small change in one state of a nonlinear system can result in large differences in a later state. To make it even more simple, that the simple flap of the wing of a distant butterfly several weeks before can have major influence on a hurricane. The exact time of formation, exact path taken, etc. The whole world, the whole universe is so well coordinated and everything fits into every little piece, wherever it is, that the simple flap of a butterfly somewhere on one side of the world can have an effect on a hurricane on the other side of the world. Okay, this is a proven scientific idea. And this metaphor, we'll call it, even though it's a reality, in the physical world also has a very strong presence in the spiritual world, in the metaphysical world as well. And it happens to be very relevant to the time of year that we're in. The Pasuk says in Parshas Nitzavim that there's a certain mitzvah, ki ha-mitzvah hazos, that I'm going to command to you right now, lo neflesi mimcha, nah, it's not so far away from you, lo rechokahi, lo b'shamayimi, it's not in the heavens, that a person should say, how am I going to take a rocket ship and get up there into the heavens to go get it? It's not there. You don't need a rocket ship to go ahead and get this mitzvah. It's not on the other side of the river, on the side of the ocean, different continent, that I would have to say, how am I going to get across this body of water to go ahead and get it? It's very, very close to you. It's in your mouth to be able to do. What mitzvah is this? So the Torah doesn't tell us. It tells us about this very, elaborates on the beauty of this mitzvah. It's not far. You don't have to take a rocket ship. You don't have to take a boat to get to it. Very poetic. But then tell us what the mitzvah is. So here we have a machlokas rishonim, and based on a Gemara in Ervin, the Rashi and the Rambam, they say that the mitzvah is the mitzvah of learning Torah. Okay, learning Torah, it's not as hard as you think. You don't have to go ahead and run up to the heavens to go ahead and get it. But it's there, it's in your ability, it's in your grasp to be able to succeed, to be able to accomplish it. But they ask, after I tell you that it's not hard, why do I have to tell you it's not in the heavens? What does that mean? So the Rashi says, quoting the Gemara, that you should make mnemonics. You should bring it down to earth. You should go ahead and try to make number systems to try to remember exactly what you learned over the course of the week. You should take a card, you should write it down, you should type it up to go ahead and make bullets of what it is that I learned. Bring it down. Don't leave it up there, bring it down. The Rambam, he says something different. He says that Torah learning is not for the people who are in the heavens. People who are walking around all haughty, Bali Gaiva, they think they're the greatest gift of this world, and they let everyone know about it. Torah is not going to be able to rest on such a person. Torah has to rest on someone who's humble. Like we know, the Torah was given on Har Sinai. Har Sinai was the smallest mountain. On Moshe, the Torah tells us Moshe was Anav Mikol Adam, he was the most humble individual. The Torah could go through a conduit of someone who's humble, someone who's an anav. Okay. So it's a lesson for us in learning Torah. But I want to focus on the other Rishonim. The other Rishonim say something totally different. The Ramban and others, they say, what's this mitzvah? Ki ha-mitzvah, what is it? It's the mitzvah of tshuva. It's a mitzvah of repentance. It's not so hard. Just could do it. So what's this idea? It's not in the heavens. It's not on the other side of the world. But what does that mean? Why would I have thought tshuva is on the other side of the world? Why would I have thought it's in space? What does that mean? See, here, Chaim Volozhiner has a very, very, very beautiful idea. And he speaks about this in drashos for slichos. He gave a discourse on slichos that took 6 hours for it to be given over. So you think 6 hours, and someone told me it was 6 hours, I'm like, I'm not looking at this one. Who has time to read a discourse of 6 hours? So you look it up, it's 5 pages. So what happened? It was an intense crowd. People were crying a lot. And it was a whole experience. Okay. I'm going to take one little line out of it. No one's going to cry. Don't worry about it. It's one little line where he explains this pasuk. What does it mean? And it's based on a famous work. Anyone know what Reb Chaim Volozhiner's famous work was? Very, very famous philosophical work. It's called the Nefesh HaChaim. Okay, some of you might have heard of it. They just translated into English. It's a fascinating sefer. Changed my life when I learned it. And the whole first, there's 4 gates. The whole first gate, the whole first long chapter, is all about Tzelem Elokim. What does it mean that we were created in God's image? Do we look like Him? Can't be, because you and I don't look alike. Right? So what does it mean that we're created in God's image? So he explains that the word, what does the word Elokim mean? We have different names for God, for Hashem, right? We have the name Yud, Kei, Vav Kei, right? That means that Hashem created the world. When we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem, Yud Kei, Vav Kei, we mean we're talking about the God who created the world. Elokeinu, Elokim is the one who runs the world, who continues to run the world. And he explains that what does it mean that he runs the world? That every moment, Hashem is infusing some power, some energy into the world for the world to be able to continue going. At any moment, the world could stop, but Hashem is continually giving this power, this energy into the world to let it go. Okay, we say at the in davening, we say, can I have a sitter for a second? Sorry. Thanks. We say in davening right before Shema. Every single morning. HaMechadesh v'tuvo b'chol yom tamid ma'aseh bereishis. That Hashem every day renews from fresh the day, the creation of the world. Every moment Hashem is creating the world. Hashem is giving life into the world. The best mashal for this, the best parable is you take a movie. Nowadays, we don't think about this, but in the olden days, how did they make movies, right? They took a picture, another picture, another picture, another picture, and then those wheels, right? You guys have seen that, right? And they go, and you see a lot of pictures, very, very quick. You all of a sudden see people moving, right? But every single slide, every single caption of the movie, of the slide, was one unit. That's what this world is about. Every single second, there's another unit, another caption, another picture. And then it just moves very quickly. So you're seeing my hand move like this, right? It's the exact same thing like the movies. Our world is existing. And every moment, Hashem is putting in that kedusha, He's putting in that energy to allow the world to continue. That's what it means that Hashem is Elokim, that He's infusing that kedusha into the world at every single second. So what does it mean that we're created with Tzelem Elokim? It means that we're created with the same makeup. What does that mean? God said that just like I, God, am infusing every moment with Kedusha into the world, holiness into the world, to let the world continue going, I am going to allow that mechanism to work to hinge on Rossman's actions as well, and all of yours. Okay? All of our actions allow those Kedusha, that infusion to occur from above. So for example, if I go ahead and help a nice old lady across the street, I do an act of chesed, every little act of chesed. So basically it's like I'm pulling a rope from down here that sets up the rope on top of that bar, acting on the other side and allowing something good to come into the world. I go ahead and I say a tefillah, a simple tefillah. It doesn't have to be a long Shmoneh Esrei, a simple tefillah to Hashem. I go ahead and do a small act of chesed, a small act of learning Torah, anything good that I go ahead, I'm shooting up kedusha, holiness into the world, and that allows that to then pour down into the other point of the world. At every moment, there's kedusha being poured on every single second, and I am in control of it. That's what it means, Tzelem Elokim. Hashem gave us the Elokim that exists of creating the world, of infusing kedusha into the world every moment, He put it into our hands. Whoa, that's incredible. When I learned about that originally, that empowered me very, very much. And I thought I was a regular guy. Still think I'm a regular guy. But I didn't realize how much power I had. We're pretty powerful people. Every little thing that we do, every nice act, every smile that you give someone, you ever notice that? You smile at someone, all of a sudden the other person smiles. It makes no sense. But that's what happens. You're nice, you look at someone, you clean up your room, right? And you're there are a lot of smiles. There we go. Okay, the roommates are happy about that. Wow, that's huge.
You just did a huge thing. Tiny little things. The more good that we bring into this world, the more that we pump that into the world, that is affecting places very, very, very far away. That's how the world operates. And we're people telling you, we're like God. We're like God. Just like God could go ahead and do that, so too we are able to do that. Just like the butterfly effect. The exact same thing. One small flap of my wing over here has major ramifications on the other side of the world. Just like no one would have ever believed. What are you talking about? A butterfly going like this, causing a hurricane? Come on. Come on! But it's scientifically proven. That's the way it works. And metaphysically, it works the exact same way. A small little nice act, a small little smile could create tremendous good, tremendous kedusha all the way on the other side of the world. Unbelievable. And he says, that's the pasuk that some of us are familiar with. Hashem tzilcha al yad yiminecha. Hashem is your shadow. Tzil, tzel, we're learning Masechta Sukkah. We're learning about tzel, shadow, the skak, right? The tzel. Hashem tzilcha, Hashem is your shadow. Hashem is my shadow. What does that mean? What it means is, when I go like this, my shadow moves exactly with me. I go this way, my shadow goes here. I go that way, my shadow goes there. It's always moving with me. So too Hashem. Hashem set up the world to always be moving with us. If we go ahead, and we move this way, we give a smile, we do something good, that also brings that over to other places in the world created by Hashem, funneling that Kedusha. An unbelievable thing. It shows that our little action, that no one's looking behind the doors, you know, we clean the room, no one even knows that we did it. No one's ever going to know this thing. We're not going to be able to post it on Facebook. The whole world is not going to find this one out, right? But we had major, major, major effect based on it. And I actually, this is something that I try to do. Everyone likes that everyone knows what they're doing, especially nowadays that we could share, we take a picture, wherever we are. Here, I was here, I was here. Everyone knows where everyone is, right? Once in a while, try to do something that no one's going to find out about. Try. It's a huge, huge, it takes a lot of work, okay? But it's very gratifying, and it shows that you really believe in what you're doing. As opposed to the reason we're doing everything we're doing is for others, we're doing it for what we feel is good. We're going into our internal value system and saying, this is who we are, this is what we believe in, this is why I'm doing it, and I go ahead and do it. And we believe in the reward that comes from it. It's not easy, but it's very, very precious, and I feel everyone should try to take one thing a day that we do by ourselves, not everyone knowing about it. It's big. You'll see. It's hard, but it's worth it. Okay? But that's what we have to realize. We have to realize that our actions are huge. To the extent, my son, when he was four, this was a very strange story. He put me on the spot. He came home from school, and he was very upset. Why was he upset? He was upset that our last name wasn't Cohen. He said, one, he has a friend in this class that's name is Cohn. Why are we Rossman and not Cohn? I didn't know where to start with that one. You know, like I explained to a 4-year-old like why my last name is Rossman. So then he explained. I said, why? What did he want so badly? So he said, you know, my friend, he's a Cohen, and if you would have picked the last name Cohen, we also could have been a Cohen. Why did you pick Rossman? What were you thinking when you had to do this? So then I have to explain, I have to get out of it. But then I realized that I could have given him a different answer. I said, yeah, you know what, it's true that our last name is Rossman, but we're exactly like the Kohanim. What does that mean, we're exactly like the Kohanim? We can't get the first Aliyah, right? What does that mean? But the Pasuk says, V'atem tiuli mamlechas kohanim v'goy kadosh. Hashem tells the Jewish people at Mount Torah, you are a group of Kohanim. God, no we're not. What does that mean? I'm Rossman, not Kohen, right? What does that mean, that I'm a group of Kohanim? So the Ramchal writes in Das Tvunos. The Ramchal also wrote, what other book did he write?
Derech Hashem.
Derech Hashem and? Mesilas Yesharim, right? And he wrote another sefer called Das Tvunos, also an amazing sefer. And he writes as follows. He says that what does it mean that we're Kohanim? What's the difference really, bottom line? Besides getting the first Aliyah thing, what's the difference between me and a Kohen? The difference is, in the Beis HaMikdash, right there, that's the difference. In the Beis HaMikdash, if I go ahead and I want to bring the Ketores one day, right? So, you're in a lot of trouble. If Ross wants to go, it doesn't work, right? If the Kohen goes ahead and he brings the Ketores, whoa, like the whole world is changing, right? Because of his incredible act of bringing the Ketores. The difference is, at the end of the day, that his action has ramifications in a greater way, and mine are considered nothing. Says Hashem, you're all Kohanim. Yes, it's true. In that building over there, he's different than you. But in general, once you have the Torah, you're all Kohanim. All of you, every act that you do, every mitzvah you do, every davening that you do, every chesed that you do, is like a Kohen, has major ramifications in the entire world. That's what it means.
So we're all Kohanim, okay? We have a little bit of differences than them, but inherently, our actions have the same effect, the same outcome that those other Kohanim do. So we're all Kohanim. And we have to feel that way, we have to act that way, we have to live that way, we have to smile, we have to be. We have to realize that our actions are incredible. The way we are is tremendous. The Altar of Slobodka, Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel, was a tremendous person. One of the things that he's known for the most was to teach his students. In the olden days, people didn't learn in yeshiva. Right? This room over here would be considered the biggest yeshiva in the world. It wasn't the in thing to do. Didn't happen so often. And the guys who were learning in yeshiva were all down and out, because everyone was making fun of them on the outside. Oh, what are you doing? Wasting your time. They couldn't get married, these guys. Now, why would you marry a guy that learned in yeshiva? It was a real big problem. So his goal was to really show the guys in the yeshiva that they were really, really special. So his son-in-law, who was also a very, very big person, needed glasses. Okay? So Nassim Finkel wanted to buy him glasses. So he went and bought him glasses. But in those days, now it's not in style. I forgot what they're called even. The glasses, like the really expensive glasses, were glasses without arms. Okay? You put it and you pinched it on your nose. Okay? And, you know, it was very expensive, no arms, made a special way. And you pinched it on your thing. Okay, the problem was that his son-in-law was hunchback. Okay? So he got him these very expensive glasses, and he wore it. And after the first day, because he walked around like this, so the glasses fell down, they broke. So he was very embarrassed. Went to his father-in-law, the Alto Sabat. He said, you know, I need another pair of glasses. He said, okay, no problem. And he went and he bought him the exact same pair. So, come on, like, it's not going to work. He said, yes, it will. Just stand up straight. And slowly but surely, he worked on himself to be able to stand up straight. He said, you're a person who embodies Torah Judaism. You're a member of the Jewish people. You can't walk around like this. There's a certain surah of a human being. Right? We always picture these successful people. Look, this is how they look. This is how they walk around. This is the type of briefcase they have, they're walking around with. Right? This is the type of computer they have. This is the type of suit that they're wearing. There's a certain way that we act. If you don't feel good about yourself, so then you don't stand, whatever. You're an important person. You have to stand that way. You have to act that way. Start walking like this. Okay, you're not supposed to walk like that, right? But start walking in the way that a human being is supposed to be walking. Start looking like a human being, a special human being, that you feel good about yourself, that you're a strong person, you're a powerful person. That's how you start acting. That's what we have to realize. We're all Kohanim. We're all created B'Tselem Elokim. We all have that inside us. Every single act that we have has tremendous ramifications. Incredible. And that's what the Nefesh HaChaim says. That's what it means. He says, you would have thought that I did something wrong. Okay, I said something not nice. Maybe it happened to one of us once upon a time. Okay, so I heard someone. So now I had ramifications on the other side of the world, right? The same thing that happens with good happens with bad. If I do something that's not good, so I also have effects in the high world. I'm linked. We're all linked. We're like puppets. We have a string attached to us. Chevel nachalaso, the pasuk says in Tehillim. We're like a rope that is connected. The whole entire world is connected. So I do something a little bit, and I said also goes ahead as effects somewhere else. Whoa, ay ay ay! I did one little thing wrong. I had an effect somewhere else. I got to do tshuva, but that's not going to do it. I got to go to the other side of the world. I got to go up into the universe. I got to go to the Shemayim. I got to go Me'ever Layam. I got to go to the other side of the river to find that place over there where my little action did something wrong. I got to go fix it. No, 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 no. That, the Torah says, you don't have to. B'ficha u'bevavacha la'asoso. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. Yes, it's true. Maybe a certain action had effects, good and bad. Maybe that's true. But you don't. In order to fix it, you don't have to go so far. You don't have to climb the ladder, you don't have to take the rocket ship, you don't have to take the submarine all the way to the other side of the world to fix it. Hashem created tshuva that from your own living room, from your desk, from your chair, you're able to fix the whole world. An incredible thing. The power of tshuva that we have to realize first, but the way to get to tshuva, first we have to realize the power that we have as human beings, as people learning in yeshiva, people learning Torah, people doing mitzvos. It's incredible. The power that we have, the opportunity that we have. We have to speak that way. We have to act that way. We have to act with our friends that way. It has to be all encompassing. And then we have to realize, okay, you made a little mistake here and there. No problem. No problem. Yes, I had ramifications. No problem. Ramifications, no problem. I can just sit there and think about how I could become a better person. What I could do more. How I could get there. And I could pump that Kedusha into the world. More oneness into the world. Every little act that we have.
And when we recognize how great we are, how amazing we are, how lucky we are, how fortunate we are, and then we operate based on that, that's our foundation, we'll see we're going to be able to hit very strong heights, become great people, our tshuva is going to be amazing, and we're going to be hit all our goals and our maximum potential forever. Okay, have a good day.